man. It is 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 man.
It's hormones. I mean, this is uncharted territory, and to do it to the most innocent and it's so heartbreaking to me. And sometimes I just am so awestruck that they have done this, and they did it secretly. If it wasn't for COVID, we never would have found out.
On the subject of HRT and menopause and all of that, because it is kind of intertwined with all of this stuff. It's all regarding our hormones and our endocrine system. So I have a little bit of experience with this stuff because I've personally had to be on a regime of Lupron, which is the puberty blocker that they give to these kids. I was 35 years old when I had to go through that. Now, it was one of the worst experiences of my life, and that is fundamentally the biggest reason why I'm a TERF today, because it, just like you, it's all about the kids and protecting those kids, yeah, and their health. So because I have experience of that awful, awful drug, that's what drives me. But I just wanted to kind of respond to, you know, that this thing about HRT. So, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, we were getting our estrogen from horse urine, you know, from mare's urine, and that was synthesized and not terribly compatible with our biology. But today, HRT is absolutely amazing, right? So to any women listening, if they feel that they're lacking or if they're struggling with their menopause symptoms, some of us just sail through it and others don't. And at 35, I needed something to replace what my ovaries weren't doing anymore. But now it's all, you know, it's all plant-based. It's all soy plant and bioidentical, and the safety, the differences in the safety and efficacy of it versus 20 or 30 years ago is phenomenal. So look into it. Anyone who's listening and has got a little bit of fear in them about same sex, you know, your actual sex hormones being replaced. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as scary as it used to be. However, when we're putting the wrong sex hormones in after blocking everything, that's a whole other ball game, you know. And you can see these girls that start their testosterone or whatever at the age of 16, 17, you know, in preparation for their double mastectomy butchering. And, you know, these girls, they're developing really severe acne within days or weeks of starting to, and it's like, even on that level, something as superficial as that, you know, your skin changing, it's like you can see it. Your body is screaming at you. Your body is telling you, I do not like this. You know, look, I'm going to break out in really painful acne so that you listen to me. Stop putting this stuff into, you know. But no, we're sort of breadcrumbed all this nonsense about how safe it is. You know, the outrage going on social media just now since England decided that no kids are getting puberty blocked anymore. You know, the outrage from the trans rights activists around that. And it's like, why do you want it so badly? Like, what, you know, why do you want little children to have that? Why are you grooming them so hard? What is in it for you, you know?
Right.
That remains a mystery, but obviously there's so many different factors. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say about HRT, just about how much it's changed and how much safer it is than it used to be. But yeah, not when we're putting the wrong kind.
Yeah, well, for adults, sure. Well, that's good to hear. But, you know, again, sometimes I can't get the words out because of the fury that I feel behind this about these little kids. I mean, that literally, they listen to their parents, you know, they want to be good. But yeah. In this kind of situation, you know, I think honestly what they're doing is they remove the parents in the kids' minds. You know, I don't know how they're doing it, but to say, you know, your parents won't understand, but I understand and I'll be your safe place. You know, those silly buttons that they walk around with the school that, you know, I'm a safe person. In other words, you know, listen to me, not your folks. I'll tell you, man. I mean, this is, it's again, I would love to know who dreamed this up, and this person really should be prosecuted, and these people involved, and any teacher, any social worker, any of our politicians, you know, they need to be held accountable for this. You just don't touch our kids, period. You just don't. And they've crossed that line in the most evil, insidious way possible.
It's barbaric. And when you talk about seeing the surgery and looking at the photos, that's one thing that's really difficult. So like on this show, I'll put little bells and whistles. I'll put pictures of, like, if we're talking about a doctor or someone's book or whatever. I've never put on my Twitter feed or here on the show any of the pictures of the surgeries, because I just don't want to do that to people. But it's so essential for some people to see that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shove it in anyone's face, but if you're listening, they do this to children, and there's proof everywhere, and the pictures are not hard to find. And if you think you can handle it, you might need to see
no.
it.
And also, I mean, you know, when they're making the male genitalia, and they end up taking a huge portion of the forearm skin, and it literally looks like this person's a burn victim. I mean, they remove, and it's insane.
It's
to do that.
Disgusting. Like, okay, so you have body dysmorphia or gender dysphoria or whatever it is.
Right.
And then you're just going to do all of these Frankenstein things that make you absolutely hideous. And like you said, it doesn't look good.
No.
It genitalia is difficult enough for some people to approach.
Yeah.
We don't need to make it worse. You know, there's fluids and hair and smells. There is enough going on
right.
without doing a botched Frankenstein surgery down there.
Right.
Yeah, I found out the other day that apparently these women who go through having their phalloplasty, right, thigh, arm, ever grafted into something that vaguely resembles I mean, it doesn't. They never look like a penis. I've never seen one that actually looks like a penis. But anyway, I heard that after around 10 years, these women have to go and have like top-up surgeries done because the skin, because it's completely different to penile tissues, right? It deflates as the years roll by. Like it kind of shrivels and shrinks, and it doesn't kind of renew its elasticity and its firmness, you know? So it kind of shrivels to this little noodle. It's the saddest thing, you know? It's like, okay, so you're not getting intimate with that. It's useless. You're probably incontinent, probably have pain for the rest of your life, you know, and you've got these hideous Frankenstein scars. And then 10 years later, what, you have to go through another surgery to have your, what they did to you before, reinflated. My God, you know, it's like you just find out more and more horrifying things about this stuff.
So true. And I've been hearing so much from detransitioners as well about hair growing in the urethra. Because of this, they use skin that's either, I don't know, you know, skin from, you know, your testicles or, I mean, but it, I mean, this is a big problem. I mean, when you're getting out of control hair growing in your, I mean, this is just it's an absolute nightmare in my view. But again, you know, when we're talking about kids, because whatever adults want to do, have at it. I still think, I mean, these dumb breasts I got at 28, regretted it ever since. These kids, you know, this is a lifetime of hell, a lifetime. And why couldn't you just leave them alone? Why couldn't you just like let them be, you know? Instead of indoctrinating them and telling them, you know, that being at home, mom and dad aren't safe, or brother and sister aren't safe. So this is going to be our little secret. It's really, to me, they're criminals, every single one of them. And they need to go down for this. And I mean, go down hard. And you know, we just have to, we got to keep on this big time.
I think it was Billboard Chris, a clip I was watching of him possibly, but there's an entire law firm now that's dedicated just to this. And there's going to be more of those popping up, which is great. Because obviously litigation is what's going to work. And it's probably already starting to. I wanted to ask you, Cherie, so something tells me that you didn't wrestle with like talking about this publicly. Like something tells me you just found out, we're like, what the hell? So is that the case, that you were just like immediately outspoken, or did you make a decision?
Well, my family, you know, is not too thrilled about it because, you know, this cancel culture is very real. And of course, you know, they're afraid. They're afraid for me. There's always that little tiny, to me, it's like just like maybe a little spark of maybe this might, but I don't give a damn in the end. And because if you can't stand for innocent children, then you stand for nothing. And screw my career, whatever. I don't care. You know, what have I got? I'm 64. I've got another 20 years left. It goes by like that. I'm going to say what needs to be said. And I just wish that there were other celebrities, people that really could influence. I don't know why that they're keeping their mouths shut about something that is so fundamentally wrong, and where they could make a difference.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question to you. Like, where are your peers? I mean, surely there's other badasses out there. Well, first of all, we have Dee Snider spoken out and Paul Stanley, right? Is there anyone else?
No. Not that I can think of.
You know what someone brought up? I had lunch with someone yesterday who is, you know, mixed up in all this. And she was saying, you guys should do a benefit show. Or the three of you, which would be amazing. Hey, so speaking of cancel culture, so you were going to do a festival. Can you talk about that? What happened
Certainly.
There?
Well, Gretchen Bonaducci. I don't know if you gals remember her, but she from Breaking Bonaducci. So Gretchen and I have been best friends. I mean, literally, she's a sister to me. You know, she comes to all of our Christmases. And I mean, we're really, really close. And she bought a Greenway Manor in Bisbee, which is this beautiful palatial estate. And she's turned it into a hotel. A rock and roll hotel, which is so cool. And she's opened a number of restaurants. She's and Bisbee really needed it because, you know, it wasn't doing all that great as a town. And as
Where's
soon as
Bisbee?
Gretchen, it's right at the border. It's in Arizona, right at the border with Mexico. It's about as far as you can get. It's by Tombstone. You have to go past Tombstone to get there. But anyway, so she reached out and asked if I would perform at her very first festival. And of course, I would do anything for Gretchen. And then all of a sudden, because it was supposed to be the first weekend in May, then she called and said, we've got a problem. And she explained that there were two bands that dropped out because of my stance on, mutilating children. That's the way I look at it. So I immediately replaced those two bands with friends of mine. But then the threats started. And then they were going to say they were going to picket and all that stuff. And Gretchen just decided that she just didn't want it, that they had poisoned the weekend. She wasn't going to, she's going to pull the plug on it. But the great thing about this, the silver lining, is that she's so fed up with this whole transgender, this far, far left fringe stuff, that she went and filed her paperwork and she's running for mayor of Bisbee to make some real changes. And because the one thing that you can't do, in my opinion, that you should never be able to do, is stop a town from revenue, because this would have been a great financial boost for Bisbee. And everybody loses. Because just 1% of these people stood up and demanded that I be removed. And so everyone loses in Bisbee this time. Yeah. But if Gretchen Bonaducci wins for mayor, things are going to look up. Because you need strong leadership. You really do in this climate.
Yeah, that's actually a really good thing to bring up. That is a good silver lining. I mean, someone running for office, that's helpful. Yeah. We need more of that.
Yeah, definitely. And Gretchen, boy, she's a kick, amazing human being. So, I'm very excited for her. I think she'll win for sure.
Good. What else are you up to? I know you have a tour coming up. Can you talk about that?
I'm doing a couple of European tours, one at the end of July and one towards the end of November. And I don't have the places I'm going to be playing in front of me, but a few places I've never been to. So that's pretty exciting. You know, it's always fun. I mean, I love it. I mean, getting on stage for me is so much easier than anything else in my life. It's just something that it's just pretty easy for me to do. So I get to meet my fans and who I think are friends, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're so friendly on X and so accessible. And you've been on, so you said you were on there before Elon bought it?
Yeah, I was, but I really wasn't there very often. I was more on Facebook, but Facebook banned my twin sister, Marie, for posting that I Am Hunter movie. There was a billboard, you know, the Hunter film that, all I know is a British guy played Hunter in it, but she posted the poster, the PR poster for the I Am Hunter film. And they immediately, I think it was like a month, they put her in Facebook jail. And then they came right back and said, oh, this was our mistake. We're the ones that really posted that first. And so they let her back in, and then exactly 1 year to the day that they had first threw her in Facebook jail and then apologized, they came back with the same picture and said that we are now for 6 months, we're canning you. And when the 6 months was up, they still won't let her back. I mean, there's no recourse. You can't speak to anybody. And so she lost her Facebook page, and they've become so far left as well. And again, I hate saying far left, but you know, it's just they're this woke entity now. And you say anything, even just the slightest bit, not pro-vaccine or pro-trans, or if you say anything that even raises a question, they're going to send you a notice or they're going to shut you down. I've spent a couple of stints in Facebook jail, but now I just really don't care for it anymore. I don't care with being censored and being, for them to shut me up. No, no.
No, yeah. Thank goodness for Elon. I love X. Him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm on X far more. I mean, I really wasn't before, but now, because I just, you know, we have things to say, and what we have to say, which is so important, especially, you know, making sure that these people keep their hands off our kids, Facebook could take a flying leap, you know?
Yeah, big time.
And thank you, Elon. Ooh, we love you. We love you.
I was going to ask you something about doing the shows, but I forgot. Kay, do you have something while I have a brain fart?
Yeah. Tell me why you're coming to Scotland. What are you getting up to when you come over here?
Oh, I'm going to do a couple of festivals and a couple of shows all over the place, too. I don't have it in front of me, and I usually don't really even look. I just get on the airplane and I go and, give the best performance I can, meet as many people as I can, and see the sights, which are so, so fun. And, it's funny because here at 64, I mean, I don't feel any different than I did in my 20s. That's a little frightening.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about you this morning and I was like, well, I know how I feel. And I very much still identify with my 19-year-old self. Like, you know, things have changed, been through a lot. I know some stuff, but like, I really still identify with that person. And I was like, I bet Cherie, I bet all of the things that I know and read, I bet that all feels sometimes like it was yesterday.
Oh, it does. It does, Mel, very much so. And I really think, now I don't know how old you are. I mean, I've already told you I'm 64 mm-hmm. and I'm not asking. But, you know, I grew up in just the greatest time ever with the best music. I mean, home life, even though my parents divorced, you know, when we were quite young, 10, 11 years old. But we knew what life was supposed to be like. And there were no cell phones. We had the rotary phones, you know, in the house. And, you know, what did we have? 5 TV channels, and that was it. And we spent our time playing with other kids, being kids, riding our bikes, going to the movies, you know, having a slushie, just the fun stuff that kids just don't experience because they're in their little worlds with their cell phones and their iPads. And, you know, I can't even imagine growing up today. I can't.
What I see with my peers who have kids is the kids, you know, they're being carted from one place to another for an activity or to go from one place to another, but they spend a lot of time being shuttled places. Whereas, so I'm going to be 50 next month. And you know, I grew up in the 80s and, you know, we were wandering the streets. These mm-hmm. kids don't wander the streets. They don't have adventures. There's no, well, that I know of. Like you said, they're staring at screens. That's what I do know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I mean, these very, very, you know, bloody, yucky video games that they get into that desensitizes them from the real world. We've really done a great injustice to our kids, and this wokeness that is being pushed from even, you know, the big, like Disney and all the big movie makers. It's just, and again, I don't know if they really realize. I mean, I love sushi, my favorite food. But you force me to eat that 3 times a day for just a couple of weeks, and I'm never going to want to see it again. And that's what they're doing with gay, you know, the gay movement, which again, I mean, I've been a huge LBG freak since I was 14 years old. And we were in one of the very first pride parades, the Runaways were. But it was very different back then. There was respect, which is what when I see these gay parades now, I mean, and they're in G-strings and they're beating each other and it's disgusting. Some of them are nude. And I think to myself, I'm glad my father's not here who fought in World War II. I'm glad my grandparents, I'm so glad that they can't see this because my dad just would have just walked up and started punching them all out. You know, there's no respect. And, you know, and I stood up for gay marriage. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of fans standing up for that. Right. They should have that right. But now it's, they've been taken over by this trans cult and it's, you know, Jamie from Gays Against Groomers. What a great gal she is. And they had come so far, and then to have this bizarre fringe element just come in and just make everybody disgusted by it all.
Yeah. They're wearing everybody out. Like you said, the sushi thing. I mean, it's just like enough already. It's on everything. Oh my God. I have a package of popcorn above my fridge. For some reason, there's a rainbow on it. I haven't even pulled it to look at, but there's something gay about my popcorn right now. Smart food. Why? Why? What
Why?
is it? Why is my popcorn gay right now? Why do I have to have a rainbow on the package? It's so bizarre. I remembered what I was going to say. I mean, you're speaking out. I mean, it might take a minute, but it's definitely going to empower. I mean, some, like you said, there's other people with platforms need to come out, and I think they will. I mean, you're coming out and doing something that's, you know, it sets the example. And by the way, I want to respect your time, and we're 2 minutes from 2 o'clock, so we can start to wrap it up because I don't want to go over.
Well, that was the fastest hour ever. That was fast.
Well, you know, Cherie, we can do it anytime.
Any well, thank you.
Time. We would love to talk to you anytime. You're just so freaking awesome.
Oh, thanks, Mel.
I mean, maybe I'll see you at an event or something because I'm here in LA.
Well,
you know
yeah, we'll
I mean?
Stay in touch. Yeah, well, since we connected, and make sure you have all my private information. But I think that this is just so important to see this all the way through to the end. You know, this is because I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, this is not something like when you were asking about, you know, am I getting any kind of blowback? My family, you know, they just, it scares them. And I don't blame them for being afraid.
Yeah.
And also, I'm sure they're going to get whipped here and there. Oh, your sister, I hear your sister, is it, or your mother, or, you know, my son, I worry for him because he certainly doesn't want any kind of negativity talked about me, even though he knows I don't care. But the way they've made it where you can't say anything negative about something so incredibly negative,
right,
or they're going to cancel you, you're not going to work. I mean, you know, hey, you know, if that's what happens. And again, Gretchen Bonaducci, she was afraid that maybe it might flow over into my tours, that maybe my tours would be canceled. If they want to cancel my tours, do it. Do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I
hope
do
they
not
don't, but
care. But I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. Because the thing is these are our kids. Okay. That's
yeah.
the most important.
For sure. So you are going to be the most threatening to the opposition, you know, to the TRAs, because although you do have things to lose, you do not care. You know, you're gonna do it anyway. And that is such a big threat to them. So we just need to rally up all the powerful men and women just like you, just like Mel and I, because we're brave too, you know. I've got nothing to lose. That's why I do it. They can't come from me. There's nothing they can take from me. So that's why I do this, you know.
Yeah.
So and Mel's just like,
I got a whole
okay.
lot of nothing. I got a whole lot of nothing. Come after me. Come get it. A double dog dare you to come take nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know,
we've
got morals.
This.
We've got morals, and that you cannot have. And there is not anything we can do. We can't. We cannot. We have to stand for this. There, we will, and we will win. And because good will always win over evil, and this is as evil as it could possibly come. So I'm up for the fight. I'm up for it.
Absolutely. That's a great way to end off.
Yeah.
Thank you so, so much. What an honor. What a pleasure. I'm so happy to know you now and to have met you in person.
If you have any
so
spare
much.
Time when you come to Scotland, look me up. I'll show you around, take you for coffee.
Oh, absolutely. I'd
somewhere.
Love that. We
love that.
We'll exchange our information for sure. You know,
yep.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Mel. Thank you so much for doing
pleasure.
The right thing. I mean, thank you for doing the right thing.
Thank you.
It is mad.